Thank you so much. Our final speaker is the woman they tried to silence. This Veronica Sherman was scheduled to deliver the lecture on Christian Zionism. She's a Jewish woman. She's actually an Israeli and served in the IDF, although she completely rejects the values that were carried at the time, and is a staunch supporter of Palestinian freedom. But she's a Jew, and they shut her down because somebody somewhere, almost certainly Jewish supporters of Israel, felt that her lecture on Christian Zionism was going to be too dangerous. Now, Veronica gave a talk, an excellent talk in the end, which ran for 40 plus minutes. She's promised me that she won't repeat that talk now. But if you do want to see her talk, and in fact all the talks in our seminar series, go to Anti-Zionism Australia on YouTube, and we also have, of course, an Instagram account, but all the talks in the seminar series are available to watch in the dry when you get home. So Veronica is our final speaker. Over to you.
Australian democracy is going extinct, and it's a death by a thousand cuts. Each small slice seems insignificant in itself, and the temptation is to look away and to think that it's not such a big deal, especially in the context of a genocide that rightly consumes our attention. But I want to share an experience I had in September last year. I heard that there was going to be a conference in the Gold Coast, something about combating anti-Semitism. Mayors and councillors from around Australia were invited to a three-day event with all expenses paid. I was intrigued. Who organises a conference about anti-Semitism 2 years into a genocide? I reached out to different local groups, asking them if they were going to protest. Surely we couldn't just let this conference take place in Australia without opposition. I mostly had no responses, and the ones who did said we shouldn't be centering what's happening in the Jewish community. I attempted to explain that this was not about the Jewish community. This conference was a strategic and coordinated global plan to infiltrate our government, institutions, and local councils with Israeli propaganda. In other words, foreign interference. It fell on deaf ears. So I flew up to the Gold Coast by myself with no plan at all, except to hopefully bring back some evidence of this Israeli master plan. I dressed up as a Zionist, hoping that I might be able to join in the festivities. Despite the crazy heavy security and police presence, it worked. And I scored myself a show bag full of brainwashing propaganda that was handed out to our impressionable mayors and councillors. That evening, I was put in touch with the other activists who had come to protest. Guess how many of us were there? Five. Not 5,000 or 500, but five. Two from Canberra, two Queenslanders, and me from Melbourne. I remember so clearly the next morning, standing outside the hotel that was hosting the mayors and the councillors, holding my banner, watching bus after bus fill up with these suckers, and wondering, when will the impact of this conference reach me? The Gold Coast is far away from Melbourne. How long will it take? Because in the show bag, there were booklets outlining what is now considered anti-Semitic. It's almost laughable. Saying free Palestine is anti-Semitic. Saying Gaza is an open-air prison is anti-Semitic. Saying Zionism is Nazism is anti-Semitic. Even watermelons are anti-Semitic. And of course, according to this definition, accusing Israel of committing a genocide is anti-Semitic. All of these examples only highlight one thing. And that is that the meaning of what anti-Semitic actually means has been weaponized by the Zionists. In the same way that the Holocaust has been weaponized by the Zionists. But back to my question, as I stood holding my banner in the Gold Coast, how long will it take for the impact of this conference to reach me? 9 months is the answer. It took 9 months for the bastards to reach me. Not because I have a watermelon on my keychain or because I tell everyone who will listen that Israel is committing a genocide that is worse than the Holocaust. No. The reason they canceled me was because they were scared of what I would expose when I spoke the truth about Christian Zionism. And it was easy to cancel me, because guess what? The mayor of Melbourne City Council was one of the suckers that spent 3 days in the Gold Coast being indoctrinated by a foreign entity. Shame. Although it's interesting to note that according to this comic strip that the Zionists made, they point to it being the CEO of the Melbourne City Council who made the decision. I can't emphasize this enough. Every Australian should be concerned about Israel interfering in our local councils. In the same way that every Australian should be concerned about Israel interfering in our universities, hospitals, schools, and cultural establishments. In the same way that every Australian should be concerned about a royal commission that is paving the way for racism, fascism, and bigotry to be amplified in our country, which in fact is the exact opposite of what this social cohesion claims to be. Now, why am I holding two grapefruits? Maybe some of you already know the symbolism, or you might be like me and miss this story. So I want to end with this, because the bastards want us to feel powerless, that there's nothing that we can do. We just have to sit back and watch the injustice unfold. And that is the biggest lie of all. Because each one of us has the potential to change the course of history. So here is the story of how two grapefruits changed the world. The story is set in Ireland in 1984, 42 years ago, a young woman named Mary Manning, just a regular 21-year-old checkout chick at the local shop, the union that she was part of had made a decision to listen to black South Africans who were asking for all South African goods to be boycotted, to pressure South Africa to end apartheid. Mary had never been to South Africa. In fact, Mary had never met a person of color before, but she understood that apartheid was wrong, which meant that when a customer arrived at her till carrying two South African grapefruits, Mary refused to handle them. She could have easily dismissed them as just two insignificant grapefruits, especially when it cost her her job. 10 other young women and one man joined Mary in a strike. Their strike lasted for over 2.5 years, and it sparked a global movement and directly led to Ireland becoming the first Western country to ban the import of all South African goods. In 1990, following his release, Nelson Mandela flew to Ireland and personally met with Mary and her grapefruit ladies to thank them for their defiance and their tireless commitment to justice. I'm sharing this story to highlight that boycotting works. It's powerful and effective and a non-violent way to bring a dangerous and racist government to its knees. Instead of feeling overwhelmed by Israel's interference here in Australia, let's be fired up to increase our boycotting and to become more strategic in our efforts, one little cut at a time. And hopefully, it won't be long until we see a free Palestine and the death of the Zionist regime. Woo!